still want you.
Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 7, episode 14 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called Moonlight on the Bayou.
And I'm obviously giggling because we got so much Klaus. This was kind of an Enzo Klaus ep.
Yeah, heavy on Klaus. And we even got like a Claroline scene, which given what we've had, this is pretty substantial as far as Claroline goes. I mean, we didn't know we'd ever get something like this again. We got a lot of Enzo. Introduction to a new entity that we'll see what that involves. But you can tell, I mean, we have a new set. Like,
yeah. Well, and they spent money on fucking CIA fingerprint scanner looking bullshits, which not the aesthetic of the show. I think that's a miss, but
what's so interesting about it is like they have a time jump coming up. They could have introduced it in the time jump. And I mean, it still would have not been the aesthetic of the show. And it still would have been weird. But it does feel like if these people are such like skilled supernatural artifact collectors, how did they lose the Phoenix Stone to the New York Maritime Museum? That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, how did they not get it out of there?
And then how would they let the one white oak tree in the world live in Mystic Falls? How would they never capture an original? Like, to introduce something like this late in the show and we've never heard of it before, it's like, I'm not scared of you. And you can't even track Raina Cruz.
Also because you got some of the aesthetic. Like, they're in a mansion that, like, has a bunch of old-timey weapons. I get that vibe. The keypads are my issue, and I'm going to talk about them a lot. But it's because they're so stupid because they don't even look like they're scanning fingerprints. They look like an unfinished set piece.
It's like these dueling aesthetics, which the show has much more of that gothic thing that we see in like the lobby of the armory. And that's what we've always seen in every situation. So then to have that and the high tech, like, I feel like you need to pick one.
Well, yeah. And why introduce the high tech? Like, I get you want like unbreakable glass that they can't escape, but like Raina literally escaped that. So I don't really get why that's there.
The Augustine cells trapped them just fine.
Enzo was stuck there for 60 years.
It was just old-fashioned metal. Anyway, lots to get into this week. Before we get into all of it, here's a quick ad. I will start, as always, by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. In order to lure a vengeful vampire hunter named Raina Cruz away from his friends in Mystic Falls, Stefan heads to New Orleans, where Valerie has learned of a safe house that can protect him. Once there, he comes face to face with Klaus Michelson, who soon becomes suspicious of his old friend's unexpected arrival in his city. Meanwhile, Enzo, who is working on behalf of a mysterious organization called the Armory, approaches Damon and Bonnie with a plan that could protect Stefan from Raina. Finally, after learning that Alaric has decided to leave for Dallas with the twins immediately, Caroline offers to accompany them on the trip and finds herself contemplating her own future in Mystic Falls. But we open the episode in New Orleans 3 years from now, because at the end of last episode, we saw 3 years from now Caroline driving to New Orleans with Josie and Lizzie to see, quote unquote, an old friend. She walks with Josie and Lizzie into a bar. We later find out it's the St. James Infirmary, where we spend a lot of our time later. And she says, hey, girls, you know what this is? It's a bar. This is the last time you're going to be in one of these until you're 21.
And these two, quiet as a mouse. They're just hanging out.
A waitress named Sylvia, we learn her name later, she walks out and she says, sorry, we're closed. And then she sees the kids and she's like, oh, and I don't fucking think so.
She said, girl, it's New Orleans, but, you know, we have to draw the line somewhere.
They can't be older than 3.
I'll go 13, but we can't go much lower than that.
Yeah. Caroline says, oh, we're not staying. We just got here and I realized I don't actually know where the person I'm looking for lives. And the waitress is like, would I know? But then Caroline says, Klaus Michelson.
And the waitress says, yeah.
And Sylvia says, okay, well, I hate to say this, but you wasted a trip. And Caroline says, look, I know he comes here. My name is Caroline Forbes. He'll know me. And Sylvia says, I don't care who you are. Klaus Michelson is gone. And Caroline says, gone where? And Sylvia says, nobody's seen or heard from that man in 3 years. And she leaves. So I know this is so far down the line, you can't be expected to know any of this. What's happening over on the originals that Klaus has been gone for 3 years?
Well, I think they're trying to make us think that something he's helping Stefan with leads to him being gone for 3 years. I think he's, I don't know, bit looking for some family. Maybe Haley left. I don't know why he'd look for Haley.
He has a baby to raise. Like,
well, they haven't seen him. So maybe he went to wherever Legacies takes place. He's getting there early.
To do what?
I don't know. To build the school.
Okay. Famously, Klaus is known for being a talented contractor.
Well, maybe he has, you know, frustrations to get out.
So he left for 3 years? He just says later in the episode that his family is what's most important to him.
Maybe his family left too.
But that's what I'm saying. This town is so important to his family. Why would he leave? Why would they all leave? We only know that he left. We don't know that they all left.
True. But I, you know, I'm assuming they stuck together in some way.
As they do, always and forever.
Yeah. Maybe it got dangerous for them for some reason.
What got dangerous?
I don't know, living there. Maybe the werewolf population is mad at him.
So do you think Haley sided with them or with the werewolves? Because Haley's a werewolf, famously.
Oh, that's a good point.
Don't you think that's a little bit of a peace thing that he's had a baby with a werewolf? Or do you think that's like, do you think that made things worse?
Yeah, like maybe he like stole a werewolf from them, namely Haley.
Yeah, okay. So he left for 3 years? Why wouldn't he just kill all the werewolves?
I don't know.
I can see you're having trouble guessing anything, which is fair because A, you've not seen any of the originals except the pilot, and B, we haven't talked about Klaus in a long time. So
yeah, I'm so overwhelmed that he's here that I can't even theorize.
I don't mean to, I'm not setting a trap for you, but I feel like you're stumbling down a set of stairs here a little bit.
I know, it's like you nudged me and then I fell down a set of stairs and like you didn't push me. But it's certainly starting to look like it from an outside observer.
Yeah. So no guesses really what's up with Klaus?
Maybe he went to Dallas to watch Caroline to raise the babies together.
But you left Dallas looking for him. If he was in Dallas with her, she wouldn't have to go to New Orleans.
I'm trying to fit a Caroline endgame somewhere in here.
Good luck. Anyway, then we go to the present day at a gas station. Stefan is driving. He's on the phone with Valerie and he says, I'm in South Georgia, I think. I just ditched my car and passed Grantville off I-85. And Valerie says, okay, you're about to come up on Highway 27. Take it north. Eventually, you'll connect with the I-20 and want to take that west.
I'm like, why can't he find a map somewhere?
I know. Got to be on the phone with Valerie all day?
Yeah, she can't just give him the endpoint.
Yeah. Stefan says, where is this leading me exactly? And Valerie says, oh, it's a safe house that's been imbued with a magical disruption spell. Even the strongest magic cannot penetrate its walls, which means Reyna Cruz's sword can't track you there. Sure.
Nobody told Beau about that.
Yeah. Valerie says, did you find 27 yet? And Stefan says, no, I just pulled over at a quick stop in the middle of nowhere. Valerie says, tell me you're joking. Stefan says, it's not fucking funny. Why would I be joking?
He's like, I mean, I have to pull over sometime. Like, I could run out of gas. I might have to pee. Like, I'm not peeing myself.
Stefan says, my phone is almost dead. I need a charger. And Valerie says, well, that's a mistake.
And of course, his phone is almost dead because he's been on the phone with Valerie for 3 hours.
Literally. Valerie says, that's a mistake. Get back in your car. You can't stop moving ever. Stefan, are you there? And he says, hello. So they lost connection. Looks like his phone died. He does need that charger.
Yeah.
So he goes inside. We cut away to see Reyna with her sword strapped to her back, speeding down the highway on a motorcycle.
Yeah. I mean, she's serious about catching him.
In the gas station, Stefan goes up to the counter and says, hi, I need to buy a charger for my phone, because they're behind the cashier for some reason. And the guy grabs some and says, okay, we've got the brick charger, the adapter for your car. This one's solar power. Pretty neat. Do you make commission off these? Just give him one. Stefan says, this one's fine. How much? And the guy says, $22.50. Jeez. For a phone charger?
Price gouging at the gas station.
That's rude as hell.
Probably the only phone charger in town.
Yeah.
It's like an airport.
Yeah.
That's why it's behind the counter, because people kept stealing them, because that price was insane.
Stefan takes a quick peek at the security camera feeds, which luckily are facing him, thank goodness. And he sees Reyna get off her motorcycle. So he starts to run out the front door. And the cashier says, hey, I made commission on those.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, there goes my commission.
Reyna comes in the back and Stefan closes the door. She throws the sword at the glass door and it goes into the door, shattering the glass. But the sword does not hit Stefan. But we can see it was aimed pretty much right at his heart.
Yeah, I mean, she knows how to work that sword. You can't deny that.
Stefan moves an ice machine in front of the door to block it, gets in his car and runs away.
And this checker's like, hey, can you help me move that machine back?
He said, what can I interest you in, a phone charger?
He said, do you want a phone charger? You look like a girl whose phone is almost dead.
We go to a mysterious location. It's bricked. It's got sweeping windows. We don't know what it is at first. We later find out this is the armory. And I will say, before we get too into the armory, you got pretty close to guessing something like the armory.
Oh.
Because I asked you what you thought the name was, and you were like, I think it might be like kind of military theme.
Cool.
I really thought you were going to get there, but you didn't.
Yeah, I never quite do I?
But you had the right idea.
But I try.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Damon pulls up. He's with Bonnie. And Bonnie says, okay, Valerie says she just lost cell reception with Stefan. Damon says, as if ruining his life wasn't enough for me to worry about. Now I get to wonder when you and Valerie exchange numbers.
I think you've been glib enough for a while. Like, let's calm it down.
Yeah, I think we can lower the joke quotient of the day, please.
Yeah, given the situation you're in, it's just not funny.
Nobody's laughing. Bonnie says, you know, you told Stefan you'd find a way to get him off the hook with Raina. I told Caroline I'd make sure you didn't screw it up. So we both have a lot riding on this. Damon more so than Bonnie.
Yeah, Damon just a touch more.
Enzo comes to the front door to welcome them. And he says, ah, good. You made it.
He's so excited to, like, be in this big ass house.
He's, like, so excited to introduce them, like, as if he is, like, the top dog here. He's not.
Yeah, he's acting like this is a one-up, but it's not a one-up because he makes it clear the only thing he wants is one single friend, which he doesn't have here.
Well, so that's the thing. I think he's trying to prove to them, like, this is an upgrade from Mystic Falls, but it's not. I mean, it's a lateral move at best.
Well, and unfortunately, there's no, like, gagging them because you were missing for 4 months and they didn't care. Like, no one looked for you.
And so it's like, you can't be like, oh, actually, like, it's good you didn't look for me because I'm so happy here. They're like, okay, we didn't notice.
It's like, oh, you were missing? Like, I know that hurts.
Bonnie did notice he was missing, though, famously.
Yes.
Love in the air, love in the air.
Love in the air.
Damon says, where the hell are we? And Enzo says, this is the armory, home to a society of supernatural artifact collectors. We keep them under lock and key so they don't fall into the wrong hands.
Except that axe over there, which is just free.
Well, they don't want it to fall into the wrong hands, but they figure anyone inside is the right hands.
Sure, sure.
But also, there's a lot they're not collecting. I mean, this is like, okay, sure, why not? Yeah, I see where the vision is here of, like, yes, a organization, institution. I think that's an interesting new type of villain, if they are, yes, indeed a villain. It's a little bit unclear if they're good or bad, I think.
Yeah, I think it is unclear. And this was kind of like what I at one point guessed the Originals was about.
Yeah, you really did, actually.
So I almost got it in a way.
You can't really count that towards anything, but that's okay.
You want to bet?
Damon says, the armory? Never heard of it. Have you? And Bonnie says, nope. Well, Damon, you didn't hear about werewolves for a century and a half, so I don't trust your knowledge.
Damon loves to be like, I've never heard of that. It's like, well, you just did. You're hearing about it now.
Yeah.
Like,
Enzo says, well, yeah, that's actually kind of the point. They've taken great care to keep themselves out of history as we know it.
Sure.
Damon says, and for three easy payments of $19.99, we too can be members. And that's a good dig, because it is giving, yeah, cult for sure.
It is giving Scientology a touch.
And Damon says, how about we cut to the part where they can save my brother? Where's the cavalry, man? Enzo says, they're out on their own supernatural treasure hunt. Killing Mary Louise and Nora. Not killing, but capturing.
I mean, I'm sure having heretics and siphons in your back pocket is handy.
Oh, it certainly can't hurt to have some siphons on call. Enzo says, lucky you, they've recruited me to nab Raina Cruz. They recruited you. You have actually never been able to kidnap someone successfully, and you already failed with Raina Cruz.
But it's his family.
Yeah, they're like, oh, give little bro Enzo a job. And then he says, you know, ever since that annoying Phoenix Stone turned up in Mystic Falls, she's been a top priority. If she's such a top priority, why would they let the new recruit take care of it? Think.
Yeah. If she's such a top priority, like, why did they not come to Mystic Falls more? Like, they knew she was there. They're clearly working with Matt. Like, no one wanted to work on grabbing the sword. I guess they wanted her to get the sword.
Well, we don't know that they wanted her to get the sword, but you have to remember that their contact is Matt, and Matt didn't really know anything about Raina Cruz, because what we learned about her was from the heretics, mostly, who he wasn't talking to.
That's true, but he knew about the Phoenix Stone sword.
I think he had limited information.
That's true.
And I don't think this is as top a priority as they're saying it is. Because again, they put the new recruit on it. They're not sending people out to find her.
Yeah, that's true. They're luring her. Well, they wanted to know where she was, but then she got out and now they're okay with her hunting, apparently.
It's very unclear what their motivation is as of this point, but they just got introduced.
Yeah.
Enzo says they consider her one of the supernatural wonders of the world. And Bonnie says, well, why do you care what they want? Fair question. And yeah. Enzo says, they have something I want. And then we do a flashback. We see Alex walking into one of the cells where Enzo is strapped in, and Enzo narrates. And he says, when the Armory kidnapped me 4 months ago, it wasn't to torture me. A woman named Alex made me an offer. In the flashback, Enzo says, who the hell are you? And Alex says, someone who needs your help, and in return, can provide you with information you desperately want. Enzo says, well, if it's all the same, I'd rather just be cut loose and be on my way.
He's like, can I just go?
Alex says, oh yeah, be my guest. And she like cuts him loose and he gets up to go. But before he leaves, she says, just figured you'd want to know who your family was. Orphan and all.
Meanwhile, she's like, I know right now, but I'm not going to tell you.
she's so unserious. And it's just, again, it's very confusing. And maybe we'll find out more because this is early. But it's very confusing what they actually stand to gain from Enzo helping them.
I think she wants her family.
Yeah, but then why make him do tasks for 4 months that he's not even good at? I guess to make him feel important enough that he'll stay.
Give him an excuse to stay without being kidnapped.
Sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's like a good reason, but I think that's the reason she has.
Do you think there's some other reason she wants Enzo here? Do you think there's something he can offer?
Maybe they need vampire blood for something. I mean, they have all these fancy chemicals that like stop magic, so I guess maybe they don't need siphons. But like maybe they need healing stuff or like vampire blood to make some of these potions.
Maybe.
And it doesn't hurt that he's like the rightful owner of the house. Although if I had lucked into a mansion, I wouldn't go looking for the rightful owner. I'd just keep it. But
well, we don't know that he's the rightful owner because his dad famously abandoned him at a workhouse. And so we can assume that they never put his name on the deed because they didn't assume he'd be alive.
That's probably true.
Enzo says, how do you know about my family? And Alex says, because as obnoxious as it sounds, we like to think we know everything. And Enzo narrates, needless to say, I've been working for the Armory ever since. It's not needless to say because it was a stupid decision. And again, maybe this fits more within the Bonnie scene, but I'm going to say it now because it's coming up. Enzo, I know they said that they can find your family. You were born in the 1800s and it is now 2015. It's going to be a Haley situation again where Atticus Shane was like, oh, I can tell you all about your family. And he's like, they're dead.
Well, also because like, he's like, how do you know about my family? And they're like, we know everything. And he's like, okay, can't argue with that. If you say so.
This is the Enzo problem, is that he's plagued by deep and obvious loneliness.
I was going to say no one clocked him better than Rick clocked him with that, because that is it.
That's it.
He just is lonely.
He's just willing to believe anything because he thinks no one's ever going to care about him, and he thinks family has to care about him. So he's like, might as well go for that.
Well, and also, like, he keeps doing this where he, like, wants to be close with people. And then as soon as it gets, like, he's almost letting people know him, he moves to a different group.
He, like, completely betrays them and switches sides. So then the people who he was getting close with are mad at him. And he's like, well, you never wanted to die for me. And she's like, we were just getting to know each other.
Yeah, like, we weren't really there yet. Like,
Enzo, he really goes through it.
Just because Damon knew you doesn't mean we're all, like, on board right away.
Yeah.
Poor Enzo. You know, that's my baby boy.
I mean, I love the man, but he needs to look a little bit inward. Jealousy is a disease. In the present, Enzo says, look, all we need to do is get Stefan here, and Reyna will have no choice but to follow. A rat to the cheese. We spring the trap. The Armory keeps her under lock and key forever after. Everyone gets on with their lives. What do you say? He leaves out the fact that they captured Reyna about 2 days ago and she immediately broke the unbreakable glass.
Yeah, so even then I'm like, how are they going to hold on to her? Because they did it the first time. And like that one wasn't just Enzo's fault. Like, she was in the cell.
Yeah, and the whole team was there. It's not like he was alone at the Armory like he is today.
It's not like he made a goof that let Reyna out. Like, she actively beat their CIA level stuff. Like, put her in like a metal straitjacket. Let's go back to medieval times. Don't you guys have something cool in there?
Or don't you have vents that can just spray sedatives in the cell? Anyway, Damon says, I'll have to discuss with my council. Enzo turns like 90 degrees to the side, not even all the way around.
He humors it a little bit.
Yeah. Damon turns to Bonnie and Bonnie says, okay, we're in. We go over to the hospital. Caroline's still in the hospital bed and Alaric comes in with a couple bags. And Caroline says, oh, must be time for another checkup. And Rick says, actually, there's something I need to talk to you about. And Caroline says, okay, what's going on? And Rick says, I'm moving to Dallas and I'm leaving today. It's like, oh.
Like, that was quick.
Caroline says, Rick, you still need a house and a nanny and the right school district. And Rick says, nah, I don't care. After I saw their little faces yesterday, everything changed. And Caroline says, is this about the Huntress? Because you can rest assured she's very far away from here, pursuing my equally far away from here boyfriend. And Rick says, well, it's not really about her. It's about Joe and the promise I made to her to leave town right after we got married. And we know how that turned out. Okay, so I'm not making that mistake twice, and certainly not with my kids.
I do respect, we've been saying, if you think you should leave town, you should absolutely leave town. But these bitches are on their second day of life. Give them a little bit of time to settle.
As we have said, like, if you think it's time to leave town, you actually probably should have left town a week ago. But yeah, you do have brand new newborn babies, and, you know, we don't know exactly when they were born in relation to their due date, because we don't know what their due date is, or how much time has passed. Because also, I didn't mention this in the last scene, Enzo says he was kidnapped 4 months ago. It does not seem that we've had 4 months of events since
Enzo was
he got captured. Yeah. The timeline is all whack this season.
Because we were just talking about the timeline recently, that it was like, you were like, maybe it's been a month and a half, but somehow 4 months squeezed in there.
Whatever. But my point is, these babies were born by C-section and twins born by C-section, particularly with the whole siphon thing, we can assume they were born at least a little premature.
Yeah.
So they definitely shouldn't be driving from Virginia to Dallas day two on Earth.
Yeah. They just gave them like a magic locket and said, eat this up.
We also, I mean, and I don't even want to open this can of worms because what's the point? But does Caroline have to breastfeed them?
I am assuming no. I assume that the babies literally only affected her, like, womb. Like, yes. No other places got affected. I mean, I guess the desiccation is part of it.
But
I don't think, like, separate. I don't think there's any other, like, medical places that are affected.
Yes, I assumed that, too, because we also never see her breastfeeding.
And why would we? Well, we don't really see them eat.
Yeah. I mean, and why
they're
would
at
we?
A diner.
Not, that's not what the show is about.
They're at a diner. Their day two, Rick gave him a french fry.
French fry and a milkshake.
He said, do you want a french fry and a bourbon? They said, it's day two, buddy.
He's like, do you guys like vanilla, chocolate, strawberry? And they said, wah, wah. He said, right.
Okay.
He said, two vanillas and a bourbon. Caroline says, well, do you know how hard it is to travel with one newborn, let alone two? Two car seats, two feeding schedules, crying in surround sound, not to mention the driving. And Rick says, I know, and stopping every 90 minutes, I get it, which is why I've hired a nurse to come with me. Caroline says, who? Frankie with the heart murmur or Jerrica, the perpetual boyfriend texter? And Rick says, Jerrica.
He said, well, Jerrica's nice.
And this is also funny because, like, Jerrica has a job at this hospital. She can't just be hired for a road trip. She's not freelance.
He must be paying.
No, how much money are they paying you to teach occult studies?
At SMU.
I guess at Whitmore, he could have compelled himself a lot of money, but at SMU, he has to take whatever they're paying. But I guess maybe they had to match it. Anyway.
Yeah, he said, you got to match my Whitmore salary. And they're like, they're paying you $300,000 a year. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's a rare field. Do you want me to keep the demons out of your churches or what?
Caroline says, come on. And Rick says, well, do you have a better idea? And Caroline says, me. And Rick says, you just went through a major surgery, the C-section. And she says, yeah, and I'm healed. Like, that's the one and only perk of a vampire pregnancy. Look, I can either sit here alone, freaking out that my boyfriend is somewhere in this country trying to outrun a huntress who will stop at nothing to kill him. And he's not going to call me, by the way. Or I can be useful. It's up to you.
It's like, she might as well. Like, what else does she have going on today?
Yeah, literally. Obviously, she's not going back to class.
Well, like, you know, she just birthed these babies. She probably wants to spend a little time with them.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't trust Rick to drive two newborn babies across the country because one, stopping every 90 minutes is optimistic. Yeah. You're going to be stopping way more than that. Two, they are so little. There's no way that car seat is holding them very securely.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of questions here. Also, he has like car seats just covered in shit. Like, give them something chill to look at. They're babies. A lot is happening for them right now.
They're learning a lot about the world.
Yeah.
We go over to New Orleans. Stefan pulls up by a bar. He finds a great parking spot. He looks in the mirror at himself and his you know, X scar is bleeding through a bandage, so he changes the bandage. And then he goes into the borough that we know is the St. James Infirmary. We get the name later.
St. John's Infirmary, I think.
No, St. James. No, I would say I'm 98% sure.
I don't know why I thought that I knew better than you.
Stefan sits at the bar, he puts his head in his hands, and he just like lets the day wash over him. He doesn't even get 10 seconds until a shot slides down, and who slid the shot down? Well, it's Klaus, of course. Klaus knew his bestie was in town. He has a bestie sixth sense.
Yeah, finally my bestie's in my city. He came to see me, surely.
Surely. Klaus says, "Welcome to Nola, old friend." And Stefan says, "Klaus says, I live and breathe." Why are you talking like that?
I know.
Klaus says, "Stefan Salvatore in the Crescent City. This ought to be very good or entertainingly bad." He goes for a high five.
It's like, we get it. He's in New Orleans. You're back together. Like, why do we get like four different lines of you reacting to this?
Because like, they're bestie besties.
Ah, as I live and breathe, Stefan in the Crescent City. Of all the gin joints, it's like, could you just pick a line?
Well, and I think this happens a lot when you get an old character on a show is like, we do a lot of lines to be like, you guys remember him, right? Which I get why we would do that with like Henry, but yeah. We know Klaus. Like, we didn't forget him.
We remember.
We got that one.
I've been sitting here waiting for him to make an appearance.
Stefan says, well, you know, I'm just in town for a little R&R. Hate to disappoint.
Klaus is like, be serious.
Yeah, Klaus is, oh, I'm sure. So, how are Elijah and whoever else you brought back from the dead? And Klaus is, oh, you know the Michelsons. Never a dull moment. That's why you have to tune in to the originals on CW.
It's like, he doesn't even name Rebecca. Rebecca catching a stray, as usual.
Stefan gets a call from Damon and then declines the call.
Klaus notably looked at the phone, so he saw that.
Klaus made it his business to know that. And he says, so, of all the gin joints, you pick ours. Four walls invulnerable to the magic of those pesky locator spells. Bit of a coincidence, isn't it? He's right to clock this.
Yeah, Stefan's like, magic doesn't work here?
He said, what? I just thought that stained glass windows looked cool. Stefan says, well, Damon's looking for me and I don't want to be found. I figure you of all people can relate to family drama. This is a good lie.
Yeah, Stefan knows Klaus watched him decline Damon's call. Like, he knows Klaus is always looking at his damn phone screen if he's there.
Stefan knows that the way to be on Klaus's good side is to make Klaus feel more important to him than his brother. I mean,
well, yeah, to make Klaus feel like he's the only one Stefan cares about, which has never been the case.
But, you know, he's got to try.
And Klaus falls for a little bit every time.
Yeah. Klaus says, Sylvia, and it's the bartender from earlier. And he says, this is an old friend. Please keep his cup brimming. And Sylvia says, cute old friend. Where you been hiding him? She's just like me.
And Klaus says, back up.
It's my best friend. Klaus says, oh, a quaint little place called Mystic Falls, home of the mining fires that prompted a town-wide evacuation. It was very noble of you to stand up for the human faction as you did in such uncharacteristically sweeping, dramatic fashion.
And Stefan's like, now who told you about that? How'd you hear about this?
He keeps up with the news for sure.
Yeah.
I also love that he used the term human faction. Very old school.
He's just a thesaurus this week, isn't he?
Yeah. Stefan says, well, I did have some help. And Klaus says, how is Caroline?
Subtle Klaus. Yeah, you got away with that one. Good job, King. You waited about 2 minutes.
He did a good job. Stefan says, Sylvia, I think we're going to need another round. We go out to the car that Rick and Caroline are driving to Dallas. They're with the babies. The babies are crying. Caroline's on the phone with Matt. And Caroline says, what do you mean you don't know where Raina is? She's wherever Stefan is. And Matt says, yeah, well, no one knows where he is either. He's not taking anyone's calls. And I can't triangulate his cell phone without at least knowing. And Caroline says, I'm sorry, what? I'm in a literal bell jar of baby noises. And Rick says, oh, I think they need to eat. Are you hungry? And Caroline says, no, yes, we should stop. And Matt says, Caroline, hello.
She's with day two babies. Like, give her a second.
Yeah. Caroline says, I'm here. What's the plan? And Matt says, if I can narrow the search, we have a chance. But until I know the general vicinity of either of them, I have nothing to track.
See, and this, I know this doesn't matter, but this pissed me off. You don't need to know the general vicinity to triangulate someone. What you do need is the phone to be on. So just say his phone must be dead. Like, why did they say this? This made no sense to me. This pissed me off.
And then, so Matt's at the police station, we should say, and Valerie comes in and she says, I may be able to help you with that.
She's always standing in a hallway waiting to be like, I can do something. It's like, could you not have come in 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, you could have just been here the whole time. Caroline says, let me guess. Valerie's here to save the day. And Matt says, let me call you back. And he hangs up. Valerie has brought a huge map and says, this is the highway systems between Granville and New Orleans. Stefan is on his way there now, and Raina is no doubt breathing down his neck. And Matt says, tell me you at least appreciate the irony. And she clearly doesn't know what he's talking about.
She's like, about maps? What?
He says, I need your help because there's not a sheriff's department left. The reason there's no sheriff's department left is because you killed all the sheriffs. He's right to call this out. That was a bitchy move of the heretics to kill his entire class.
Well, and he's right to be like, look, everyone else moved past that, but that was deeply traumatic for me.
Yeah, it was different for me.
And it doesn't even seem like you really remember doing that, which is even worse. Like, did that not move anything in you? And Valerie's like, huh, okay.
Yeah, Valerie, even in her response, doesn't like confirm she remembers doing that.
Yeah, I'm sure she's like, whoever that was.
She says, I do appreciate the irony. But she just says that to get her point across. She says, just as I hope you appreciate that I helped Caroline deliver her babies, and I am here because I'm desperate to keep Stefan alive. Okay, number one. Yeah, sure, you helped Caroline deliver her babies. Kind of the least you could do for someone since you're such a freak for babies. Number two, you're here because you're desperate to keep Stefan alive. Can you maybe remember for a second that he's not your boyfriend, he's just some guy? And also, would it kill you to say, I am sorry for that? I am sorry I killed all the sheriffs.
Apologize for that, but also, if you're desperate to keep Stefan alive, why were you sitting doing nothing for, like, maybe 4 months, it appears? And why didn't you, like, help anybody, like, I don't know, separate the stone from the sword or do something? Like, I don't really know what was, like, thank you. Like, even this to Matt, he's like, so you helped Caroline and you're helping Stefan. Doesn't really seem like you're making anything up to me, girl.
Yeah, you're not doing anything for me.
He said, I don't even really like Stefan. He messes with my life all the time.
And he's a little pissed at Caroline, too, because Caroline is really siding with the supernatural people, because of course she will, because she's supernatural. Maybe it's because I've now had some distance now that Julian is dead. But I hate Valerie more than I hate Julian. I just hate Valerie so much. And in the early part of the season, I tried to hide it and I didn't even really hide it. I was trying to hide it. Imagine.
It's actually what's crazy about Valerie is I don't think there's any way they can win with her. Because if she's on screen, she's pissing me off. But if she's off screen, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, you lazy bitch? Like, there's no winning.
I just simply hate her. And this is another thing. As I've said before, Stefan and Caroline have enough issues to work through. This show wants them to always be struggling with something. Why can't they ever just be together and happy? Now we have him running for his life with a scar on his chest. Do we need Valerie and him to have this unresolved thing? Is that an obstacle we need? And also, why the fuck is he talking to Valerie so much? Why is Valerie talking to him so much? Like, I know she's like, oh, I've dealt with Raina before. Her advice is always the same. Keep running. Caroline can tell him that.
Well, and also, like, yeah, talk to your girlfriend while you're in the car since you're driving for so long. Because, again, there's no reason to be on the phone giving him directions. Give him the address he's going to. You don't need to be the one with the map. You're not the only map in town.
And I think Stefan is avoiding talking to Caroline because he feels guilty that this happened and he has to leave her after giving birth. And I think he's a little bit shutting her out of guilt, which is a problem he needs to deal with on his own. But Valerie's certainly encouraging that. I want her dead.
It's only a matter of time. Well, I guess not, because she makes it to 3 years from now, which unnecessary.
Please, Julie Plec, take the suffering away from Beau and give it to Valerie.
It's so true.
Matt says, I suppose if she stole a car or something, I could get a beat on her. And Valerie says, thank you. We go over to a gas station. Mary Louise is, you know, looking at chips, eating chips. And Nora says, I thought you hated rubbish food. And Mary Louise says, well, I do. Maybe it'll kill me. Beau, Lily, Oscar, Malcolm, our family couldn't survive in this new world. You could have if you minded your own damn business. I mean,
yeah, if you guys had just moved to another city and not been bitch asses, would have been fine.
But alas.
And she doesn't mention Julian. That's not in her family anymore.
She said dead. Mary Louise says, and now once again, the two of us have to worry about a psychotic huntress who will kill any vampire in her sight. Maybe this will be a quick sodium-laden means to my end. And I get that, like, ideally Reyna will kill all of them, but Reyna's top priority is people with scars. Neither of you have a scar, and you could talk to Valerie about where Stefan's going. You could get pretty far away and be pretty relaxed.
Yeah, she's actively hunting Stefan right now, so just don't go in Stefan's direction.
Yeah.
She'll run into other vampires, especially if you hear Stefan's headed to New Orleans. There'll be plenty of vampires there for her to hunt.
Nora says, is this really who I'm stuck traveling across the country with? And Mary Louise says, we are running for our lives. What could I possibly have to be happy about? And Nora says, Mary Louise, we can be happy about us. Starting over together, away from all this. New horizons, new everything. Here. She holds out a ring pop that is unwrapped. Yeah. Where the fuck did you pick this up?
Did she pull it out of her pocket? Like,
Mary Louise says, am I supposed to know what that is? What does it look like, bitch? You know it's a ring. Like, maybe you don't know what a lollipop is, but you can see it's a goofy looking ring.
And guess what? This looked just as goofy as the real ring you proposed with, by the way.
Yes. Nora says it's a ring made from candy, not even a diamond, but what it is good enough. She puts it on Mary Louise's hand and says, you know, we're all we have left. Let's see what else is out there together. And Mary Louise says, I suppose there's no one I'd rather explore this dreadful world with. And then they kiss, and immediately they're both shot by people in black.
But the people let them get engaged again, so that was pretty nice. They said, oh, I love a lesbian engagement.
Like, oh, she's got a ring pop. How cute. We'll let him have a minute.
They're like, oh, my ring pop. I dropped that.
And so the people in black, we've seen people in black before. We could assume that these are armory people, but we get that confirmed because Alex comes in and says, poor thing, so desperate to embrace the modern world, so unable to grasp the concept of cell phone tracking. Bag them up and let's go home.
Like, who would have told them about cell phone tracking, you know?
Well, if they were nice to people, maybe Bonnie would have.
That's true.
They were more worried about Reyna than cell phone tracking. And Reyna doesn't seem to know how to cell phone track. We go over to the armory. Damon is on the phone with Valerie and says, where's Stefan? And Valerie says, safe, though I suppose that could mean anywhere outside of your vicinity. Girl, again, you have A, no reason to be mean to Damon, who just asked you a simple question. And again, I do think we can blame Damon for Stefan having to, you know, get the Phoenix Stone scar that is making him run for his life. But about 2 weeks ago, Stefan was responsible for Damon getting in the stone. So let's call it even and let's reset. Damon says, you know he has a girlfriend, right?
Thank you, Damon.
I've been saying, blonde, sweet, cute as a button. You're not actually her.
And Valerie's like, shut up! Shut up!
He gagged her severely. Valerie says, I'm hanging up now. And Damon says, you don't want to do that. I have a way to take down Reyna, but it requires him to come to me. And Valerie says, well, that might take a while. He's in New Orleans. And Damon says, yeah, that's doubtful. We only go to New Orleans for crappy booze and Klaus blood. And Valerie says, there's a bar there, the St. James Infirmary, considered a safe house for supernatural travelers. Oscar came upon it when he was looking for the Phoenix Stone. Oscar came upon a bar in New Orleans when he was looking for the Phoenix Stone that was in the New York Maritime Museum. He lied!
He was in Myrtle Beach. Like, he was partying all over the place. I'm surprised he left New Orleans, but he certainly didn't come upon this on his search for the Phoenix Stone.
Yeah. Damon says, fine, just tell him to pack it up, huff it back to Virginia to a pile of bricks called the Armory. And Valerie says, did you just say the Armory?
It's like, how does Valerie know about this?
I know, they've been in a prison world. Damon says, yes. As a matter of fact, I've said that word more times today than I have in my entire life. And Valerie says, get out of there, Damon, now. And Damon says, why? And Valerie says, the Armory is a black hole of lies. Matt clocks this from the police station because famously he's been working with the Armory. So he's like, let me tune in.
Well, and like, Valerie, thank you for that. Can you elaborate?
And she does elaborate. Valerie says, they once tricked us into using Beau as bait in exactly the same fashion they'll use Stefan. And they were more than happy to let Reyna bury her sword in his heart as long as they could put her in one of their cages. I promise they will do the same to Stefan. This is interesting, and I know, again, I can't be caught up in bullshit like this. The last time they were hunted by Reyna was 1903, and they met Reyna once, and then they went to get a ship to New York Harbor from England. And they were being chased around Europe by Reyna. When did they have time to go to the Armory? Because after they went to New York Harbor, they got put in the prison world.
Yeah, literally at the harbor is when they got put in the prison world.
So it doesn't make sense. I mean, and I think we're not meant to like clock this as a lie. I think this is just sloppy writing.
Yeah.
Because then Beau gets put in the stone, but he got stabbed in Europe, but not in the heart. So he was fine. I mean, it just, the timeline doesn't make any sense.
yeah, them using him as bait, like, doesn't make sense because of the timeline, but also, like, you got him out, so it was fine.
I get what Valerie's trying to say here, but, like, I would assume that if they offer, like, we want to use this person as bait, that they don't care if the bait gets killed.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole thing of bait.
So you have to be, like, aware of that and protect him. And, I mean, ideally, yes, they would protect your friend because you're helping, but, like...
But you can see how that would fall off their priority list.
This isn't, like, a deeply damning thing to me. And to me, I'm like, oh, okay, so I should just be prepared, A, to stop Reyna from stabbing him, or B, to get him out of the Phoenix Stone later. But Bonnie's already done it before, so it's not, like, that threatening to me.
Yeah, so I should just, like, make sure I'm there when he's bait. Okay.
I can do that. I'm free.
I wasn't going to leave anyway, so sure.
Exactly. Damon says, well, I don't have another option at the moment, Valerie. And Valerie says, well, whose fault is that?
Not mine. Like,
I mean, again, I know I blamed Damon a lot last week, and I was right to do that, but it's not like Valerie's completely blameless, because the whole reason the Phoenix Stone is in their life is because of all the damn heretics.
The sword, especially, like, yes, Alaric brought the Phoenix Stone in, but they combined it with the sword.
Yeah. Valerie says, look, the best way you can help Stefan is to keep your mouth shut and stop making things worse. Unfortunately, Damon's getting pretty beat down this week about how everyone suffers because of him, so this does have an effect, and he continues to be beat down in this way.
Yeah.
We go inside, and Bonnie's talking to Enzo, and she says, so this faceless so-called armory claims to know where you come from. Enzo says, I find Reyna Cruz, they fill in the blanks. And Bonnie says, and if you have to lie or hurt your friends or screw anyone over in the process, so be it, right? Like, he has friends.
Yeah.
Enzo says, I was sent to a workhouse at the age of 4 with a concept of family so limited that I actually convinced myself an Italian line cook was my father.
Literally me at the diner after a few drinks.
Yeah. Enzo says, by 14, I was out on the streets. By 27, I was dead. That is it. That is the sum total of my life as a human. I know how to comfort myself, live off scraps, and catch disease. The rest, love, relationships, family, these are things I know nothing about.
Like, girl, we know.
This is what the armory can provide me. So I will do whatever it takes for answers in a heartbeat. You know who else could provide you some guidance? A therapist. And so,
one, like, the whole finding family thing is stupid for him. But I get why he's interested in it in theory. But, like, you could do some research. Mama, let's research. You didn't have to jump to this right away.
Enzo has just, like, a particularly hard life because he's just been in captivity this whole time. But, like, at the very least, you can't check Alex's ID. It has her last name on it. Like, it literally, Mama, let's research. Damon enters and says, hey, flag on the play. Like an idiot, Stefan didn't renew the minutes on his cell phone. So we'll call you when we connect. Come on, Bonnie, we want to beat traffic.
Bonnie's like, where'd he get a phone that has minutes?
They turn to leave, but Enzo Vampire runs in front of them, and Enzo says, so obviously you know where Stefan is. And Damon says, yeah, I do, Enzo. I also know that you allowed me to believe Elena was dead, so I'd help you kill Reyna, who already escaped your custody once, fair mention. Then you tricked me into saving your ass, which resulted in Reyna getting this stupid sword, and now I have Stefan's 1863 siphon crushed, telling me that you all are shady. So Bonnie and I are going to go cook up a plan B, but thanks anyway.
Enzo's like, I only lied about Elena being dead for like 12 hours. Suddenly that's bad.
And it's like, this must be the first Bonnie's hearing of this. Why doesn't she get to react?
Bonnie's like, I'm just tuning him out.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Enzo's response to them wanting to leave because he has to prove himself to find his family, which he thinks will solve all his problems. He, you know, shoots Damon with a vervain dart and Damon falls. And Bonnie says, hey, what are you doing? And then Enzo knocks Bonnie out with the gun.
Yeah, he pistol whips her really quick.
It's like, ow!
It's like, okay, that's your girlfriend.
I know you don't know it yet. We go down to the cells in the basement, the high-tech cells, where they kept Reyna. Damon wakes up on a gurney. He, like, struggles. He's not tied down. So he, like, you know, flounders about, looks around. And he sees he's got a roommate. And who is that roommate but Tyler Lockwood? He is laying there, like, asleep, but the heart monitor is on. So we know he's alive. And Damon says, Lockwood? And then the door opens. It's Enzo. Side note, Enzo does the little hand scanner thing. That door is open for a good 5 seconds. Vampire run.
Yeah.
just woke up. And I think Ian Somerhalder later does like an acting choice that sells this, that he's weak enough that he couldn't make it. But I don't know. I think you can vampire run 6 feet in 5 seconds.
Even if it tires you out. But also that door ends up being an issue again when Tyler immediately gets out. Tyler actually put a pep in his step.
Yeah, exactly. Enzo comes in and says, like, yeah, we found Tyler where you left him, in a pool of his own blood. Poor bloke's been in a coma ever since. So Tyler's been in a coma this whole time.
Tyler's just getting some rest. He needed it.
Damon says, well, why the hell is he here? And Enzo says, he's an associate of ours, actually. We take care of our own. He says, I want a family so bad. And it's like, so you want your family to be Tyler? Enzo, think.
Enzo. Tyler and Matt are in the family. Like, it's not exclusive.
It is also just so funny that Matt called the armory to capture Enzo. And now Enzo's like, he works there. He has a full job. Matt cannot get this bitch dead.
Yeah, Matt called the army to capture Enzo, and they're like, oh my god, we know him.
Oh my god, we know that guy.
That's my grandpa? I don't know.
Yeah. Damon says, oh, that's why you have Elena. And Enzo says, cookie for you. Yeah, turns out Tyler made contact with the armory during his hunter sojourns. So when Matt Donovan needed help with a vampire problem in Mystic Falls, he called Tyler, who then called the armory, thinking they'd put me away for good. Little did he know they wanted me to work for them instead. So here we all are.
Matt failing again.
Yeah. Damon says, like, that's how you take care of people. And Enzo says, you know, don't worry about Tyler. We're simply keeping him alive until his werewolf transformation steals him awake and heals him up. Shouldn't be long now. And Damon says, I'm sorry, what?
Damon says, oh, not again. Like, come on.
Enzo leaves the cell again and locks him in. And this time, Ian Somerhalder slowly walks to the door when it's open, but doesn't make it. So I think he does kind of sell that he's too weak. But again, run a little faster. Enzo says, oh, did I forget to mention tonight's a full moon? Well, you're welcome to watch the show with me on this side of the glass. Just give me Stefan's location. And Damon says, you know, thanks, but I'm a sucker for the front row.
Damon's like, well, let's see what Klaus is up to, I guess.
Enzo says, suit yourself. See how long that lasts.
I realized the reason I thought the borough was called St. John's is because St. John, the last name, came up. That's where it came from.
You really thought you clocked me.
I know.
We go upstairs. Bonnie comes to, and Enzo comes in. He says, hey, BTW, Damon put Tyler in a coma. Bit of a hallucination mix-up that resulted in Damon introducing Tyler's skull to the pavement several times. If the armory hadn't found him, he'd be a vegetable or dead. Ice? Bonnie's like, I don't really give a fuck about Tyler, to be honest.
Bonnie's like, Tyler's still alive?
She said, oh, Tyler, I totally forgot about him. Bonnie says, you knock me out, then offer me ice? What's wrong with you? Where's Damon? And Enzo says, oh, I locked him in a room with Tyler on a full moon. Yeah, you heard that, right? Your bestie, your sidekick, your humanity project, the man who spins your moral compass in a tizzy. If he doesn't give over Stefan's location by the wolfing hour, he's a dead man.
Oh, he's big jealous. He thinks Bonnie's into Damon. And Bonnie's like, ew.
Bonnie says, oh, you ready for this? Vesmatos Ossix. And then nothing happens. And she says, hey, what'd you do to me? Why won't my magic work?
Which is fair because, you know, he has her on a couch. She's not in a cell. Like, obviously she's going to try something.
Enzo says, yeah, I injected you with one of the armory's toys. You're in magical timeout. Feel free to dispense with the menacing posture. We go down to Tyler's cell. Damon looks at Tyler's body just lying there. And then Damon, like, pushes at the door, pushes at the window. He can't get out. And then Tyler wakes up from his coma and says, Damon?
And Tyler's like, why did they put me in pajamas? Why am I in my jeans? This is so uncomfortable.
Damon says, hey, I hope I didn't wake you. And Tyler says, what's going on? And Damon says, good news, tween wolf. You're about to get your sweet revenge on me. We go to a diner somewhere between Virginia and Texas. Caroline returns to the table. Rick is there with the babies as well. She says, what kind of diner runs out of ketchup?
It's a good question. That's an oversight.
Rick says, oh, shush, I just got them to stop crying. And Caroline says, oh my god, wow, yay, okay. Now we can talk about nannies. Obviously, I thought we'd have more time, so none of them are perfect, but I rated them out of 100 based on their age, GPA, and experience. You know, I figured you'd want someone intelligent, but not overly ambitious.
That is the key with a nanny.
Yeah. And then the babies wake up, and Rick says, no, shush, like, okay, I'm going to take Elizabeth for a little walk. Do you mind watching Josie? Sorry. And he takes Elizabeth out and leaves Caroline with Josie. And Caroline talks to Josie, woman to woman, and says, why are you crying? You have a fresh diaper and a full belly, and you have no idea how bad things can actually get. Josie says, wah.
And Josie continues to cry.
Yeah.
Because she's a baby.
We go back to Tyler's cell. Damon ties Tyler to his gurney with like plastic tubes. And Tyler says, "Those aren't going to stop me, Damon. The second I turn, you're as good as dead." And Damon says, "You don't think I know that, Copernicus?" I'm so confused what the Copernicus read is here.
It has to be something about the moon, even though Copernicus's whole thing was the sun. But I think Damon's just running out of joke names. Like, he already used Tween Wolf, and I think he was like, damn, that one's funny.
He didn't think he needed another one.
He thought he killed Tyler. He didn't think he needed jokes anymore.
I know. It just, I'm like, Copernicus.
Yeah, it's like, that's not really it.
Damon says, "Once bitten, twice shy. It's taking me every ounce of willpower I have not to send you to doggy heaven right now." And Tyler says, "But you're not. Why?" And Damon says, "Because up until yesterday, I thought Elena was dead. Turns out she's not." And he loads a syringe with something. But Tyler says, "And if she were, then what? You kill me because you have no one else to be accountable to?" Damon doesn't answer that question, but the answer is, well, yes.
Damon's like, yeah, that's basically what I just said, but you made it sound pretty bad.
Damon injects Tyler with whatever he found, some kind of sedative, and says, "This should knock your ass out till the sun comes up. Good boy." Tyler starts to fall asleep, because famously, the werewolf curse is that easy to shut down.
It's like, yeah, I'll give him a little bit of medicine and it won't work.
Like, don't you think werewolves have been trying that?
Like, don't you think a werewolf has tried a Xanax before? Like,
literally. Damon says, "Off to dream of squirrels and milk bones." And then Tyler's eyes open and they're gold. And Damon says, "Oh, that's not good."
Damon said, "Damn, so it that didn't work. Okay."
He's like, "Now I need more jokes. Thought I was good till the morning." We go upstairs. Bonnie is pushing against a door and she says to Enzo, "Hey, open it." And Enzo says, "Yeah, members only." And Bonnie says, "Hey, what happened to you? When did you become this person?" He's actually acting quite on brand.
Yeah, this is actually classic Enzo. Much as I defend him for everything he does, I mean, this is kind of his gag.
Enzo says, "This person, what, as opposed to the other person you were so fond of?" And Bonnie says, "At least that person knew what he wanted." When?
Who was that?
I guess he knew he wanted to kiss Lily, but does that matter?
But that wasn't, like, good.
And he knew he wanted to annoy Stefan, but that's really not, like, knows what he wanted. Bonnie says, "And fought for it without steamrolling over everyone else." He pretty much literally steamrolled Matt with a car once.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he's kind of only been out for himself, but not even, like, being good at it. Like, at least Catherine is out for herself and got what she wanted. Literally. Like, he's out for himself and alone. Like, how the fuck is that happening? Which I think is part of his concern as well.
Exactly. He can't get a break. Enzo says, "And what did that get me? Lily's dead. I have nowhere to live. No town to call home. The Enzo you knew didn't get what he wanted. This one will." Bonnie says, "And you want your family. A family who dropped you at a workhouse, never came looking for you, who wiped all trace of your existence from their life. You're willing to make an enemy of everyone for them?"
Yeah, she's like, they don't sound great.
Enzo says, "Okay, well, consider this. When I told you Damon was in trouble, you leapt to your feet and tried to stop me. It didn't matter what he'd done, how he'd hurt Tyler. Your first instinct was to help him. That's what I want."
He said, "I just want one person to care what happens to me." He said, "Even Lily didn't care, and everyone hated Lily."
Enzo's like, "Damon literally left me to burn in a fire, and you would rather save him over me. I've been nice. I'm hot and sexy. I'm British."
He said, "I know Damon's hot, but I do have the accent. I'm not well adjusted, but he's not doing amazing."
And I mean, we've talked about this before, that Enzo has never given enough trust to people or enough respect to get it given back in return. And he thinks there's some kind of shortcut to getting a family.
He always wants people to care about him, but he's not good at vulnerability. And so then he never lets it get quite far enough to actually have people care about him, because he thinks it's embarrassing to ask for it. But you have to, like, you can't just ask for it. You also have to, like, put work into a relationship.
Yeah, you also have to sacrifice yourself for these people. And not for nothing, unfortunately, Enzo, you joined this show in season 5. They went through a lot before they met you. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, a lot of them grew up together. And the other two were in love with Elena. So that helped. And you and Elena never really clicked. And unfortunately, she was kind of the linchpin.
Yeah.
Damon, not the linchpin.
Unfortunately for him. Bonnie says, "Well, I hope you find it." And then she hits him with a vase. knocks him over. And then she takes his gun, shoots him with a vervain dart, and he passes out. So she drags his body to the sensor and uses his hand to open the door down to the cells.
Classic. That's the problem with fingerprint technology.
We go down to the cell. Tyler is awake and he's like fighting his transition. And Damon says, okay, breathe. And Tyler says, these sedatives are messing with me. And Damon says, yeah, they're slowing your transition. And he's trying to get on the phone. He's like, hey, pick up, Stefan. In New Orleans, Stefan does pick up the phone. And Stefan says, yeah, it's really not a good time. And Damon says, yeah, the feeling is mutual. Okay, listen, you wouldn't happen to be at that place Valerie sent you to, would you? And Stefan says, why? And Damon says, well, there's a chance I'm going to have to, tango with a werewolf tonight. And it'd suck a lot less if I knew there was an antidote en route.
Yeah, Damon's like, what are the odds we can get some Klaus blood here? I know we can't really rely on it, but it would make this day a little easier.
If you're in New Orleans already, anyway.
Yeah.
Stefan says, what are you talking about? And Damon says, just answer the question, Stefan. And Stefan says, yeah, I'll see what I can do. And he hangs up. Klaus returns to their table with drinks and says, oh, so where were we? Siphon babies, vampire witch heretics. Sounds like you've been having quite a lot of fun since last our paths crossed. And Stefan says, to be clear, it wasn't all fun. Caroline practically died in childbirth and she's not actually their mother. It just sort of happened. And Klaus says, right, so she carried two lives in her womb. She gave birth to them. And now she plans to turn those cooing little faces over to Alaric without so much as a hiccup of hesitation. Yeah, you're probably right. That does sound like the Caroline I remember. Because as we know, Klaus now has a baby. So he has a little bit of an insight into parenthood.
Particularly a baby he did not necessarily want. So he understands that things change when the babies are born. And he's like, I know Caroline. She's a very loving person. Yeah, she's going to want the babies.
And Klaus says, if you care for her as you say you do, why aren't you with her right now? And that's a fair question, knowing what Klaus knows. Stefan says, like I said, family drama. Speaking of, Damon has found himself in a bit of a werewolf predicament. I know I said he was a pain in the ass, but is there any chance you'd be willing to spare some blood, just in case things go south?
I'm not talking to Damon, but while I'm here, do you have some blood for him?
I've always said these people should have a vial of every type of blood they need.
Yeah.
They should be taking Klaus's blood just to have. They should have done it before he left when they were on good terms and said, hey, before you leave, could we just have a couple vials of your blood?
Just in case. Yeah. Have Caroline ask him. He would have given her some.
Yeah. But then Stefan's scar starts opening up. We're bleeding through the Band-Aid. And Klaus can see the blood come through. And so Klaus tears off Stefan's shirt and the bandage and says, that's the mark of the Phoenix sword. And Stefan says, oh, you've seen this before.
So Stefan's like, who told you about this?
Klaus says, tell me you have not been careless enough to make an enemy of Reyna Cruz. And Stefan says, well, why do you think I'm here, Klaus? And Klaus says, you said Erin.
Stefan's like, I mean, you see the scar. You understand I've made an enemy of her. It's not entirely my fault, but it doesn't really matter at this point.
Klaus says, so you came here to hide, to seek refuge in my town, to enjoy the perks of my hospitality in the city where my family sleeps, and all the while you lure in a vicious hound with your scent? Because remember, he has a baby! And we don't know what her supernatural makeup is.
We don't.
But either way, a baby could be captured to use as leverage.
Yeah, a baby's pretty easy to kidnap. That's the whole thing.
And if I'm Reyna, you know who I want in the Phoenix Sword? A couple originals for sure.
Yeah, that's a big game hunting.
Yeah. Stefan says she can't find me in this bar.
And Klaus is like, I know how this bar works.
Klaus says, well, maybe not under this roof, but you are aware that she was born in New Orleans, terrorized the quarter for years, thrust her blade through the heart of some of my best men on the steps of St. Anne's Church. She will pursue you until your paranoia and despair far outweigh your desire to live. Here, elsewhere, or in hell, she will find you. So Klaus seems to have dealt with Reyna Cruz before. Do you think we'll learn more about that, perhaps on the originals or perhaps on this show?
Perhaps on this show, just, maybe on the originals if they want to separate us from the Huntress storyline. Maybe that's why they got kicked out of New Orleans. Maybe they tracked her in somehow, or they left other people to fend for themselves because she was already there.
Stefan says, if you know how to outrun her, tell me what to do, Klaus. And Klaus says, I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't draw a huntress to a town of vampires, you don't drink my bourbon while lying to my face, and you don't dare ask me favors ever again. Is that clear, old friend? Get out. And Stefan says, well, if I leave, she'll kill me. And Klaus says, and if you stay, I will. Get out.
Yeah, I know you might as well go, but me, I'm calling Klaus's bluff. You're not killing me.
Yeah, hiding in the bathroom. I'm going to another table.
Yeah, I'll totally leave, Klaus. I'm just going to go to the bathroom really quick. And that door does lock, right?
Or worst case scenario, I'm running out to the quarter, getting a wig from somewhere, and putting it on and coming back in.
Yeah, just I'm going to get one of those drunk one shirts, compel someone to be drunk too with me, wear some big glasses, hide.
Ta-da. Right after Stefan leaves, a phone on the table rings. It's Stefan's phone that he left behind. And it's Caroline. And so Klaus sees that and he's like, ooh, hello.
His heart goes pitter-patter, as does mine.
So Klaus answers the phone and says, hello, love. And Caroline says, who is this?
Because Caroline's like, I was trying to call my boyfriend and now my other boyfriend answered.
And now I know another British guy who says, hello, love, because they brought Enzo in to soften the blow of losing Klaus. And Klaus says, ouch, has it really been that long? And Caroline says, Klaus. And Josie is crying. And Klaus says, I know that sound all too well. You know, you might try picking her up. Father of the year, Klaus Michelson. Caroline says, okay, hold on. And she picks Josie up and says, how am I talking to you right now? Where's Stefan? And Klaus says, by the way, what's your stance on hand-me-downs? You know, we have a chest that was once owned by Louis XV. It's being wasted on my daughter's outgrown onesies. Any interest? So we know Klaus has a daughter. Caroline says, one, these babies aren't mine. They're Rick's. And Klaus says, yeah, that's been made abundantly clear by your boyfriend.
He said, I heard.
Caroline says, okay, two, I didn't call you. I called Stefan. Yes, my boyfriend, who's currently running for his life, while I sit here playing worst case scenario, except these babies that aren't mine won't stop crying. And this entire diner hates me. So if you could refrain from gloating in the face of my misery, that would be very much appreciated. And Klaus says, Stefan will be fine. And Caroline says, how do you know? And Klaus says, because I will insure it.
Klaus is like, fine, I'll protect him.
Stefan, you better count your lucky stars.
Mm-hmm. They all lucked out that Klaus fell in love with Caroline so hard. That has paid off so many times for them.
Yeah, that has helped them quite a bit, time after time. Klaus says, so here you are, in college, building a life for yourself, plans of future things you want. And she says, I'm not doing this with you. And Klaus says, I take it kids weren't part of those plans. And Caroline says, no, they weren't. Luckily, these aren't mine. And Klaus says, so you mentioned. You know, my family challenges the bounds of my sanity. They drive me to do unspeakable things, all the while finding fresh and inventive ways to torture me. But as it turns out, my family is what makes me truly happy.
And Caroline says, wow, that sounds like a great show.
Klaus says, it's not a crime to love what you cannot explain, which is a very succinct way to summarize this. It's very sweet. And it's a very succinct way to summarize their relationship as well.
He's sweetie as usual.
Klaus says, I was sorry to hear about your mother, Caroline. I'm sure she would have loved to see you with the little ones. Very sweet. Caroline says, oh my God, the baby's finally sleeping, Josie. And Klaus says, well, then we mustn't wake her. Goodbye, Caroline. And he hangs up.
Caroline!
I mean, listen, as I've said, everyone on this, every listener knows I'm a Steriline stan, and I remain a Steriline stan. Despite the shit they put them through, because I think they put them through too much to make them harder to root for, which then, Julie Pluck, you set yourself up for a loss because people are already shipping Claireline. However, I do think Claireline should be endgame.
I love it.
But I don't think Caroline and Klaus were right for each other at the time he left to do the originals. And I do think their experience as parents makes them more right for each other.
Mm-hmm.
It realigns both of their priorities in life in a way that is very complimentary. And I do think they should be endgame. That's all I'll say. They're so right person, wrong time coded.
And I also think they should be endgame. I know, shocking.
You're so brave.
Shocking for me to say that. I know it's a little controversial.
We go back over to the cell where Damon and Tyler are. Damon is hitting the door with an IV stand while Tyler is still struggling. And Tyler says, hey, why don't you just save your ass and tell these people where Stefan is? And honestly, yeah.
It's a fair question.
Damon says, because Stefan has a bad habit of taking bullets aimed at me, and I thought I'd give him the day off. And then Tyler breaks loose from the tubes and says, then maybe this is for the best, because I'm going to turn and I'm going to tear your throat out. That way, nobody will ever have to take a bullet for you again. And Bonnie has found the cell, and she says, oh my God, Damon. And Damon says, hey, Bonnie, can you open the door? Tyler says, hey, Bonnie, get out of here. And Bonnie, she says, like, oh, the door won't open. And Damon says, you're a witch. Blink really hard. Bonnie says, I can't. Enzo gave me something that disabled my magic. And Dame says, oh, he can open it with the palm of his hand. You got to get him down here right now. And Bonnie says, yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, I barely dragged him, 5 feet.
Yeah, Bonnie's like, he's heavy.
It's all muscle weight on that guy. Damon says, why the hell not? Tyler is one loose vertebrae away from making me his dinner, so figure this out, please. No pressure.
Meanwhile, Tyler's breaking his bones in the corner like he do. He's like, can we just figure something out? Like, I'm in pain.
It's happening. Bonnie goes upstairs to Enzo's body, and then she spots just a loose axe out.
Because it is an armory, so they have axes.
She says, that's good luck. Enzo comes to, and he says, oh, Bonnie. And Bonnie says, this is what happens when you make enemies, Enzo. For the record, I would have made a better friend. And we see her get ready with the axe. We cut away so we don't see it happen. But we hear him scream, so we know she's cutting off his hand.
So she did get him back for hitting her with that gun. Significantly.
We go over to the Mystic Falls police station. Valerie gets a call from Stefan, and Stefan says, hey, I lost my phone. I had to pick up a burner. And Valerie says, oh my God, Stefan, thank God. Have you made it to New Orleans? And he says, let's just say I wore out my welcome.
She said, already?
She said, it's been 20 minutes. He says, I'm back on the road, and in a shocking turn of events, Damon needs my help. And Valerie says, what are you talking about? Worry about yourself. You need to go back. Again, this is why I already hate Valerie. I could say it, until the cows come home. But even when I hate a couple, sometimes I'm like, okay, I can see how people might ship them, or I can see how someone might think this is a good fit. All Valerie wants Stefan to do is be selfish and abandon all his friends and family. What good is she offering him exactly?
Well, and that's one, the one thing Stefan will never do.
Yeah.
Not for you, certainly.
Yeah. Matt comes in and says, okay, dispatch just put an APB out on a speeding motorcyclist traveling east on Highway 90. Woman meets Raina's description, driving like a maniac. Valerie says to Stefan, okay, did you hear that? Avoid 90. And he says, it's a little late for that. And Valerie says, why? Where are you? And he says, driving east on 90. I'll call you later. And he hangs up.
I mean, she is on the tail. This bitch does not rest.
Yeah, she's quick.
It's serious to her.
We go to Stefan's car, driving east on 90. And he, takes a turn off the main highway into, a very leafy road. And he loses his phone service and says, oh, damn it. And then his tire pops. And he gets out to look at it because he assumes he must have, run over something because he's driving on leaves. But there's an arrow in his tire. And he looks around. And then he sees Raina is there with her motorcycle. And she shoots him with two arrows from a crossbow. But it's funny because he gets out and looks for, 5 seconds. And she's, 10 feet from him with her headlight on. So it shouldn't have taken him that long to spot her.
It's like, okay, Stefan, let's look alive, buddy.
Raina approaches with her sword. She kicks him to the ground. She goes to stab him, but he grabs the blade with his hands. So his hands are bleeding, but he is stopping the blade from getting in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And just when she's about to stab him, Klaus throws Raina off of him, off of Stefan.
Yeah, he backhands her 50 feet.
He got her good.
That's the kind of kill that only Klaus can do.
Yeah.
No one else does this.
And Stefan says, hey, what are you doing here? And Klaus says, the right thing, I hope. She's dead for now. We need to go. And Stefan says, no, we should grab her body before she comes back to life, which is a good idea.
We'll grab the sword.
Yeah, I think if you're not going to grab the body, you might as well grab the sword. But Klaus says, Stefan, you are trespassing on dangerous ground. Trust me, this is werewolf territory. And we see glowy yellow eyes in the woods.
And the werewolf's like, ooh, I smell something.
I smell dinner. Klaus says, let's go. Klaus vampire runs off. Stefan follows. Do you think Klaus knows these werewolves personally from his time on the originals?
Yeah, I'm guessing Haley's in there. And, maybe his daughter as well.
Oh, you think?
Maybe she already killed somebody.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think his daughter, who was just born, activated her curse in the first, 2 years of her life?
His daughter killed someone already.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
Maybe she was born, with it already activated. Maybe she ate a twin in utero, and then that counted.
Maybe.
I have this belief, and I don't know where it comes from, I think I said this, that her eyes glow like some other color, not gold.
You have said that.
So I think there's something interesting with her.
Do you want to guess? I mean, again, I don't want to get us too into the originals weeds while we're on the Vampire Diaries, but do you want to guess what's up with Klaus and Haley's daughter, name yet to be revealed?
Uh-huh. I think it's in the werewolf spectrum.
Okay.
But I think it's more complicated than just a werewolf. Like the way that like siphons are witches, but more something else. Like, I think that's the situation. Like, she's a werewolf, but she's more like something else. Like, maybe she can control when she turns.
Okay. But you don't think she's a hybrid?
No.
I mean, I guess to be fair, Klaus is both werewolf and vampire.
Yeah.
And Haley is werewolf. And we don't know if, you know, what's dominant, what's recessive in the supernatural world.
Yeah. It appears from, you know, not to get into the biology of it, because that's not anything.
But I guess let's.
But it seems that, like, werewolves can have babies, vampires cannot, you know, Caroline notwithstanding.
Yes.
So I would imagine it's werewolf DNA pretty exclusively.
Okay.
But the hybrid thing might be, you know, affecting something. Like, I think it adds a complication that makes her something else. But I don't think she's a hybrid. I'm not confident. I think there's probably, like, a 30% chance she's a hybrid.
Okay.
But I'm going with no.
Okay. We go back to the cell where Damon and Tyler are. We spend so much time in this cell, like, doing the same thing. Kill him or don't. I
Guys, don't spend too much time in this set. It's pissing me off. Don't make me look at it this long.
Yeah. Tyler gets up. Damon points, like, the metal IV stand at him and is like, hey, easy boy, I don't want to kill you. Tyler says, why? Because Elena will dump your ass? I'm not sure she will.
Like, Tyler, all the love in the world, Elena does like you, but in 60 years, like, I think she'll be fine.
Well, yeah, Tyler was, like, in the friend group for a while, but he's kind of phased out.
Like, he's kind of closer to Elena than most of them, because Elena and Matt are closer. But I don't, like, I do think Elena would be like, hey, that's not cool that you killed Tyler.
Like, I wish you hadn't.
But also, if he was mid-transition, like, I get why you were in that situation.
Yeah, she'd be like, in a perfect world, you wouldn't have killed Tyler, but I get why you had to.
And I've been asleep 60 years, and I'm not really, like, wanting to date, so we're good.
I do not want to get on whatever Hinge looks like now.
I don't know what the dating scheme looks like at this point in time, but I can't imagine it's good, so let's move on with it.
Yeah. Damon says, and killing you would be a waste of a perfectly good IV stand. And Tyler says, look, if it's not me, it's going to be somebody else, Damon. There's no way in hell you're lasting 60 years without royally screwing up.
Like, yeah, I royally screwed up by burning a coffin.
Yeah.
Like, I did it already. And I do get this point, like, someone's going to die. But, like, at the same time, Tyler, Matt, Bonnie, like, they're on human timescales. Like, they might be dead when Elena wakes up anyway. Bonnie definitely will be. So it's kind of like, if it's one of them. It's not ideal, but again,
it's expected.
People are going to be dead anyway. Like, she's not really counting on seeing them.
Yeah. Damon says, well, Bonnie should be here any second. And Tyler says, that's what I'm talking about. You open that door and I'll kill her too. Well, don't.
Well, maybe don't do that. She's not a vampire.
He says, there's always going to be something else. Your friends, my friends, they'll keep risking their lives trying to save you until they're all dead. And this does clearly affect Damon.
Yeah.
Bonnie comes in and she says, looks like you could use a hand. And she's holding up Enzo's hand she cut off. It's funny.
Yeah,
nobody laughs.
She had that bit going, even though, you know, Damon just got his ass handed to him.
Yeah, he's not ready to laugh. Damon says, actually, Bonnie, don't. And Bonnie says, well, I need to get you out of here.
And Bonnie's like, I'm not going to have cut off this hand for nothing.
Yeah, she's like, I already cut off the hand. Like, we're doing this. Damon says, listen to me. If you open that door, Tyler will kill you too. And Bonnie says, well, I'm not going to let you die in there. Because something about Bonnie, she's sacrificing herself. And Damon says, this is my mess. Go. Tyler's eyes glow yellow, his teeth appear, and Bonnie goes to the door with the hand and opens it. Tyler tackles Damon out of the room, so they're both outside. Bonnie says, Tyler, stop. Damon says, Bonnie, get the hell out of here. And honestly, Bonnie should just run upstairs. But instead, she grabs the IV stand to fight, but then Tyler takes it and pushes her into the wall, which causes her to hit the back of her head and leave a blood stain on the window. That back of her head has been taking a beating lately.
That injury from Damon didn't even heal yet.
Yeah. Damon says, no, and then he says, okay, Tyler, get out of here or I will kill you. And so Tyler does run away. Damon goes to Bonnie and says, hey, you're okay? And then he starts to feed her blood, but she's not healing. And he says, why aren't you healing? Bonnie, hey. And then he takes her in a bridal carry and takes her outside.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, the magic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, Enzo.
And I will say, you can feel here like, you can see why people start shipping Bonnie and Damon.
Oh, yeah. Again, I get it.
I'm not a Bonnie Damon shipper, but they give them a lot to do, and they will later try to walk this back, but the damage is done. He bridal carried her. Come on.
Yeah, I don't personally ship them because I'm such a heavy Delana shipper, but, like, if they were to kiss, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm obviously shipping Bonanza more and shipping Delana more, but, like, this couple, like, would be cool with me.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I like them both. They're my little bitches.
We go to another cell. Now Enzo's on a gurney, but it's actually the same cell because Bonnie's bloodstain is still on the window.
Yeah, they didn't even give him his own cell.
Enzo comes to and he sees that his hand has been reattached. View. Which, I mean, again, I don't want to get into logistics, but it's funny to think that, like, if you're a vampire healing, do you think Alex just, like, held the hand up to the nub and the body just reconnected it?
Well, they, like, she wrapped it with something, so maybe it takes a little extra time.
But he can move his fingers, so it's connected.
Yeah, so, but maybe it did take a little time while he was out.
Maybe.
But still, it appears you needed to bring the hand to the nub.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't going to crawl its way back. You know, going back to my theory.
If you had, like, dismembered Klaus and spread him in the ocean, that might have actually worked.
Yeah. Which, I not to bring this up again, but when Reyna was dead on the ground, I was like, you guys want to dismember her? I know it sounds like I'm into dismembering people with yeah. the amount of times I bring this up. But, like, just, like, logistically, I think it couldn't hurt.
I just think it sets you up for success.
Yeah, I mean, it at least, like, slows her down. Because, you know, Reyna's moving.
Yes.
She's fast. So maybe if we just keep her, like, one arm. Or both arms. But, like, male one arm across the world. Take the other arm, throw it in a quarry. Like, and then maybe it'll take her some time.
Yeah, at the very least, take her arms. Because then it'll be harder for her to use the sword.
Yeah.
Or drive. Or really do anything.
Like, I think arms, like, if you don't have endless time to fully dismember her, I do think the arms are the most important ones to take off.
Yeah, at least one arm.
Just me personally, my strategy with yeah. this.
Alex enters the cell and says, oh yeah, we found your hand lying around. Thought you might need it. Guess that's the last time we let you watch the house. Because he really fucked it up, just like he did when he kidnapped Caroline that one time and immediately let her out.
Yeah, he's not great at it.
And Enzo says, actually, it's the last time for anything. I'm through working for free. Catch the Huntress yourself. You're not even getting paid?
Which, it's fucked up he wasn't getting paid. It's classic Enzo to let them not pay him. But also, Alex, this is your family. You weren't even paying him?
Well, what bills does he need to pay, honestly? And he can compel anything he needs.
And I bet they were giving him room and board.
Yeah, I'm sure they let him stay here.
But still, not very familial behavior.
True. Alex says, you know, you said you wanted to know where you came from. We just needed you to prove it. What?
Sure.
Anyway, Enzo says, for 4 months, 4 months of helping you, 4 months of learning your mission statements. What is it, a frat? 4 months of tracking this woman with fake postcards and lies, scouring the globe. 4 months that brought me nothing. No answers, no family. Consider our deal terminated. And Alex says, your family is here, Lorenzo. Your father founded the armory. Why the hell not?
Sure.
Okay.
At least they're giving him more storylines.
Yeah.
I'll shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Let me shut my mouth.
Enzo says, my father? And Alex says, this estate is where he lived and died. So why'd you send your son to a workhouse?
Yeah, this is where he lived and died and didn't think of you, it appears.
Alex says, what he left behind is your birthright. And Enzo says, no, what he left behind was me.
Yeah, Enzo's like, I don't know if he'd want me to have this, honestly, given how he treated me.
Yeah. Alex says, believe me, I know the feeling. Until Tyler Lockwood called us, I didn't know I had any family left either. Enzo says, what are you talking about? And Alex says, my name is Alexandria St. John. I'm your family. Sure, why not? Let me ask you this. Alex says, you know, she was worried she had no family left. Does she want a family? What happened to the rest of their family? How big is their family? Like, what's the deal with this family?
Yeah, that's a good question. I assume, like, it's a family that was, the line is kind of limited. I think it really is just her and Enzo left, and it would just be her if Enzo, you know, actually kept to his natural, you know, life expectancy. I assume this guy, Enzo's dad, you know, built up this armory and have people around, but that the family is more important.
What does that sentence mean?
Like, he has a family line, but he also has, like, the people who make up this, like, army that is the armory.
Okay.
But so that there is a family, but these other people are not related. Like, these are kind of just employees.
It's not a family business. Or at least not exclusively a family business.
Not exclusively a family business. Now, it is interesting that she took this long to say that they're family, but maybe it was, like, I want to see what he's like, whatever. Let's ignore some of that. But she's also talking about how this house, this place is his birthright. Was it not her birthright before? Like, does she not want it? Does she, like, I don't know. It maybe she, like Miss Haley, like, was looking for family. Like, maybe she's also somehow an orphan. Because they love orphans on this show.
Well, she says she didn't think she had any family left. So we can assume she is an orphan.
That's true.
And has no siblings, based on the way she says that.
Yeah. So maybe it's a Whitmore situation. That they're letting, like, one person each generation live.
Who's letting one each generation live? The armory?
Not the armory, but, like, some villain that they're facing. I don't know.
Alex appears to be in charge of the armory. Do you think that's true? That she's, like, the top dog here? CEO, if you will?
Yeah.
What is the armory's goal, do you think? Based on what we hear.
It does appear to be a sort of, like, library museum of supernatural tools and weapons. And so it seems that they want to keep order within the supernatural world. Because though they, you know, are collecting things and looking for, you know, their own supernatural treasures, they also did, like, respond when Matt was like, I need help hunting vampires. And, like, hunting this specific vampire. Like, that was something they were willing to do.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you think in our experience with the armory that they will be more ally or adversary to our main characters?
I think more adversary, because I do think at the end of the day, they're somehow related to vampire hunters. Now, they seem to be against Reyna and her style of hunting.
Well, we don't know that they're related to vampire hunters.
Well, that they were, like, willing to hunt a vampire.
Well, they weren't willing to hunt a vampire. They were willing to hunt Enzo.
Sure.
They told Matt and Tyler that maybe that they were willing to get a vampire, but they went to Mystic Falls and took one vampire and it was Enzo. So we don't know they're vampire hunters per se.
I guess, yeah, that's assuming they knew who Enzo was before they grabbed him. I thought that they didn't for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be against, like, Reyna's style of vampire hunting. So maybe there's a little bit more, like, of a professorial side of it. Like, maybe it is, like, more Isabel vibes, like, studying what it is rather sure. than stopping it.
Yeah, they don't also, I was going to say, they don't necessarily seem, like, against her style of hunting. Because, you know, she got out and the cavalry's first priority obviously was getting Nora and Mary Louise.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we can say that they're conclusively against her style, but just that they consider her a supernatural wonder of the world.
That's true. Yeah. And this, like, immortality type that she is particularly using is rare, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they are more of, like, a research organization.
Who knows? We go over to Dallas. Caroline and Rick have gotten a house. Pays to be a vampire.
Yeah. Quick work for Caroline.
Caroline says, okay, the girls are asleep. Furniture is en route. Electricity will be on by tomorrow morning, and I am starving. Did you get a chance to look over the list of nannies? And Rick says, I did. I set up an interview with the one that you rated a 89.75%. And Caroline says, Tracy. Good. She was my first choice, too. And I can compel her to lower her fee if you want. Rick says, yeah, I don't think that'll be necessary. I mean, scoring this house and actually having the babies, you've gone above and beyond. Caroline says, well, I guess my work here is done. I think I'll stay the night if that's okay with you, just to make sure the electrician doesn't burn down the house tomorrow night. And Rick says, sure, stay as long as you want.
She earned a free night's stay in Dallas, at least.
Do you think that she does want to stay with these babies more than she's letting on? Do you think this one night stay will turn into more?
Yeah.
I mean, we do see in 3 years that she lives in Dallas and is engaged to Rick. So we have to assume she stays more than one night.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Stefan's not around and these babies are fresh. Like, she's one, looking for a distraction and something to do and some way to be useful. And two, obviously cares about the babies.
Yeah.
And she has the, you know, excuse of it for a while of like, I'm just helping Rick get settled, helping, you know, until he finds other people to take care of the babies. Like, and then, you know, she'll get attached to the babies. She's maternal.
Fair enough. And then these two look at each other a little too much for me. Get a job. Stay away from her.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I'm supportive of Caroline staying for the babies and wanting to be a mother of two little twin girls. Not supportive of this.
Yeah. We go over to a hospital. Bonnie is in bed. The heart monitor's on, so she's alive, but she's asleep. And Damon is there with her, and he says, oh, Bonnie. She doesn't say anything, so he says, fine, be that way.
He says, I'm sorry that things got so bad that we had to go to actual medicine. That's never good for us.
He says, fine, ignore me. By the way, once whatever crap Enzo gave you is out of your system and magic works on you again, I'm going to give you my blood and heal you, okay? In the meantime, there's something I want you to know. You are a terrible friend. You know that? Do you have any idea what I'd have to go through if you had died today? Years of crippling, self-loathing guilt, not to mention the resentment I'd feel if I was forced to break in a new drinking buddy. You're not supposed to die for me, Bonnie. Neither is my brother, but no matter what I say or how hard I try to drill it into your skulls, you're not going to stop trying, which is why I have to take myself out of the equation. It all ends tomorrow. You'll never have to worry about me again. What do you think he means by that?
I think it's time to desiccate.
We do seem to be approaching
the time jump.
Yes, well, we seem to be approaching the point where we're setting up all of these things that we know to be true in the time jump. I mean, Caroline and Rick are in Dallas. Damon wants to kill himself. Matt is a cop. Valerie's getting a little bit too involved with Stefan for my taste. Like, we've seen these things be set up for the time jump, and we seem to be approaching all of them.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer. And, you know, I get it. Everybody wants to die for Damon. And even though they all say they hate it, they keep trying. I mean, Bonnie and Elena love to sacrifice themselves for things. Stefan loves to be a murderer. This has been true. And yeah. Damon's like, even when I'm doing bad, people still care about me. And that doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
He said, that's not good. I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend in a coffin.
That'll be good for me. We go out to the road. Klaus is driving Stefan, and Klaus gives Stefan his phone back. Very nice.
Yeah, he said, by the way, I did take this. But you left it behind. I didn't steal it.
Yeah. Stefan does not say thank you. Yeah. He says, there's a train station about a mile away. You can just drop me off there. And Klaus says, do you love her, Caroline? And now, Stefan, I wish you would just say yes. But I get your whole thing. Stefan just says, why? Do you still have feelings for her?
It's like, Stefan, let's not ask stupid questions, okay? Yeah.
Klaus says, I have far too many complicated women in my life already. Wonder who he's referring to.
That may be true, but Klaus still has feelings for butterflies he's killed. Like, he loves feelings.
He's emotional.
Still waters run deep.
Yeah. Klaus says, Caroline is the reason the tip of Reyna's blade ended up in your flesh, isn't she? You were protecting her. And Stefan is ashamed to admit, he says, no, I was protecting Damon. Which is true, but we will remember that, like, Stefan specifically was like, I don't want to take care of Damon. I want to be here with Caroline. But no one else was willing to sacrifice themselves, or no one else could go distract Reyna. So he was protecting Caroline.
Yeah, he was protecting Caroline to keep Reyna away, but he did take the sword for Damon.
Yes.
And Klaus is like, wow, you wouldn't even take a sword for Caroline?
Even though he did.
In a way. Indirectly.
But he's oversimplifying it because he's struggling with his relationship with his brother right now because Damon's being a selfish little bitch ass.
Well, because he's mad he got murked by this, but he's not like blaming Damon for it, but he is like mad that it turned out this way.
He's frustrated with Damon.
And he's kind of blaming Damon, and he feels guilty for blaming Damon for it because he knows it's not entirely Damon's fault, but there's really no one else to blame.
Well, and he's still not over the frustration with Damon for burning Elena, even though that didn't end up being true.
Yeah.
It was pretty real for a couple days.
Yeah, it was a pretty big betrayal.
So Klaus says, well, then let her go, Stefan. Let her go or spend an eternity sacrificing everything good you have with her for your brother. Believe me, I've spent an eternity watching Elijah do the same for me. Stefan, consider the source on this advice. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, yeah.
Like, this is like Damon telling you things. Like, You don't take love advice from Klaus, please.
Yes. And I mean, Klaus's advice to be like, please, like, let her go, because or else you'll only hurt her by sacrificing yourself for people, which is what he see. You know, again, we look at Klaus and Elijah versus Stefan and Damon. Elijah is the Stefan and Klaus is the Damon of that relationship. Yeah. So, of course, Damon would say this about Stefan the way Klaus is saying about Elijah. So Klaus giving advice to Stefan is just like, step back.
Well, and it's also like, Klaus, it's not real advice to be like, don't be with a girl because you love your brother. Like, that's not exactly what you're saying, but it's basically what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Klaus may be in New Orleans, but he didn't suddenly like crack the code of life. Okay.
Yeah.
He's still a mess. He's been alive for 1,000 years. He doesn't have it figured out.
And you've seen Klaus's relationship with his siblings. Okay. That's not what anyone's aspiring to.
Yeah, let's aim a little higher, Stefan.
Yeah. Stefan says, hey, you missed the exit. Because he's like, I'm not listening to your advice.
Yeah, he's like, okay, Klaus, you can keep talking, but we both know that you're not the one to tell me what to do.
He says, can I just get on this damn train?
He said, I'm actually done hanging out with you now.
Klaus says, you're not going to the train station. And Stefan says, well, I have to get out of here. And Klaus says, we're going to see a witch. I may have something that can help you with your Raina Cruz problem. And that's where we end the episode. So what does Klaus have that can help Stefan? Who is this witch? What's going to happen here? Are we going to solve the Raina Cruz problem?
So I assume the witch is whoever that witch was in the original's pilot that we saw. One of them died, and then there was another one. Sophie?
Sophie Devereaux.
Sophie Devereaux. So I'm assuming that's her, because I'm assuming she has some kind of role in the originals. I don't know.
Yeah, and you assume she's maybe like the main witch, the Bonnie of the originals, if you will.
Yeah, why not? And I assume maybe it's some way to like keep her down for a while, because we know at some point Stefan's scar closes, because it has to close for it to open back up.
Yeah, because it opens back up 3 years from now.
Yeah, so I assume it's some way to stop. Maybe like they have some like almost permanent death.
So like put her on ice.
Yeah, essentially. But then she somehow wakes up out of that. Because again, she has a connection to Louisiana. I think there's got to be some understanding of like the spell that keeps her alive, because it's, you know, the same area.
Yeah, it was done in this area.
Witches are probably aware of the shamans. Yeah. So I think there's some awareness in that witch that can help get this figured out in some way. I don't think it's a permanent solution, obviously.
Sure.
Because I think we'll be dealing with her in the time jump.
I do also want to ask, again, I don't want to open the original's can of worms when we're still in the Vampire Diaries, but this episode gave us some clues into what's happening over on the originals, which is currently running at the time this show is airing. So I have to ask, like, what does this episode and these exchanges, what does this tell us about the originals? What are you looking forward to? What other thoughts do you have? Like, do you have any comments on the originals based on this episode?
So I'll say this. I'm over the moon that Klaus still has feelings for Caroline. I was worried he was in a full relationship with the fake Caroline we met in the backdoor pilot. So clearly it's more complicated than that. Not that we're going to get a Caroline endgame, but at least I can believe it for a little longer.
Sure.
The other thing, you know, Elijah sacrificing himself for Klaus. I think that's in some way protecting the baby as well. I'm sure there's a complicated Haley, Elijah, Klaus mix with the baby, because I'm sure Elijah fancies himself a father figure in many ways, which he kind of is. And I also do think Haley and Elijah are a couple.
What gives you that impression?
I just have that thought, because I don't think she's with Klaus, and I think it's a Klaus-Elijah story more than anything.
So that's where that thought came from?
Also, I've seen some pictures.
What pictures have you seen?
I've seen a picture of them like dancing, not even edits. Like I saw a picture of her like dancing with Elijah, and it says something about torn between two brothers, but it didn't really seem like there was a tear.
Okay. So can I ask you why you're looking at pictures of Vampire Diaries characters when you're not supposed to spoil
I'm
yourself?
I'm not looking them up, but sometimes edits pop up on my Instagram Explore page and I don't like open them.
So why are you looking at your Instagram Explore page then?
Because there's other stuff on there I like. It's not all Vampire Diaries stuff. Like, sometimes it's some really cool Pretty Little Liars edits. Like, am I not allowed to look at any edits of any show? Like, it just sneaks by. And I don't open them, but unfortunately I can recognize them even in the small little form. And then sometimes I do accidentally open them. Or sometimes purposefully. but not often. And mostly I only open ones purposefully that I know I've seen or AI pictures of Klaus and Caroline, if I'm being completely, totally honest here.
Okay. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars, rating, and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.